Today on Focal Point, a relevant message from Pastor Mike Fabares.
2 Peter 3, this world as we know it's going to be over, but we, believing this promise of God, look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Can we live this week fearless? We're not freaked out. Our neighbors are going to get increasingly freaked out as this world continues down a path that Christ said it's going to continue. We need to be paragons of courage and strength.
A paragon is someone who's seen as a good example. And as Christians, the way we model qualities like courage and strength will make a positive difference in the lives of those around us. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares continues his message on end times, an apt subject for us to learn more about. As the world becomes darker, our thoughts naturally turn to what the Bible says. Our passage today is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. Well, here's Pastor Mike.
Allow me, if you would, to take this first point and give you a little bit of what I understand to be the biblical teaching on what God is saying about the nation of Israel and its worship center here. Number one in your outline, let's just start it down this way. Understand Israel's judgment. Clearly, there is judgment on Israel. Why? Because on that Palm Sunday, representing so much of what they had already done in rejecting Christ, they were officially rejecting their Messiah. The rejection of the King of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, had repercussions. And what's the repercussions? There's going to be a destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. There will be a complete destruction of the temple, and all of that will go away because you've rejected your Messiah. Theoretically, you could say, had they embraced their Messiah, we would have the kingdom ushered in. But as we already saw in chapter 19, many thought the kingdom was going to appear immediately, and Jesus knew it wasn't going to appear immediately because they were going to reject him, so there was going to be a postponement. But let us understand in Scripture that when it comes to God's promises regarding the Davidic throne being occupied by the ultimate son of David, sitting on a throne in Jerusalem over the people that were descended from Abraham, the people of Israel, the genetic offspring of Abraham, fulfilling all the promises of the 12 tribes of Israel, all being completely inside the borders of the land, living in peace and harmony, the lion laying down with the lamb, and all of the promises that God told us about Ephraim and Jacob being reassembled, having the northern tribes, the southern tribes, and everybody back together and everything being great because the Son of David is sitting on a throne. All of that, we understand, is postponed. And in this passage, we'll see that all of this one day will then be revived, and we'll understand that God will get back to dealing with his people of Israel once, as the passage says, look at verse 24. And just get into the beginning of it. They will fall by the edge of the sword, they'll be led captive among all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. And here's a great and important word, until, bottom of verse 24, the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We are now living in the times of the Gentiles. Not gonna happen until the times of the Gentiles of the trampling of Jerusalem is over. Acts chapter 1, the disciples after the resurrection took the resurrected Christ, looked him in the eye and said, is now the time you're gonna restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, Jesus said, there's a lot of people think it's gonna happen right now. Not gonna happen right now. There's gonna be an interval. He didn't tell us how long, but he did tell us a few things. He told us two things. Verses 7 and 8 of our passage, he said, listen, don't follow false Christs. And verse number nine, second thing he says, don't be afraid. Let's look at those one at a time for the time we have remaining. Number two on your outline. Look at this in verses 7 and 8. Teacher, when will these things be? What will be the sign when these things are about to take place? He doesn't answer it. Instead, he gives his own answer, and his answer is this. Don't be led astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. The time is at hand. Do not go after them. Now, there's no applicability for us if this is only about people rising up between 33 AD and 70 AD, and well, there's nothing to preach here. But if for us, we recognize that the false Christs will continue throughout this church age, and even people like us in a Gentile church will be tempted to go after a false image, a false doctrine, a false concept of Christ, and I'm thinking, man, the New Testament's full of that warning. then I think there is some applicability here, and we ought to think about what he's saying in this passage to people that think, I'd sure like the kingdom to happen now, but I'm going to have to be patient. So if I'm going to be patient, I guess I should look at all the substitute Christs that are going to pop up, and they're going to be saying, as it says in the bottom of verse number 8 there, the time is at hand. Now's the time. I'm the guy. Listen to me. There's a lot of preachers painting a picture of Christ that says, now is the time. There's a lot of preachers and doctrines out there saying, hey, listen, if you're impatient, I give you what you want. I can give it to you now. Impatience makes you vulnerable. And the longer you're made to wait for the coming of the kingdom, the more you're vulnerable to people saying, well, I can give you a taste of the kingdom now. Number 2 on your outline, let's make sure that we don't let impatience turn us into a heretic. Don't be an impatient heretic. Sorry to suggest that you might be a heretic. Heretic. Do you know that word? Oh, that sounds pejorative, and I guess it is. But if you get back to the Greek word heretic, that Greek word is about, it's a transliterated word, by the way, heresy. I think about 8 or 9 times in the Greek New Testament it shows up. Heresy, if you look at the root of that, what it is, it's the word choice. It's the word option. They're basically saying, if you don't like the Christ of the Bible, I got an option for you. There's one way to look at it. Here's an option. If you don't like the truth, the path of the truth, here's an off-ramp for you. You can take this off-ramp. The context here is, I'm going to make you wait, and a lot of things are going to happen. There are going to be people stepping in going, no, let me give you an alternative. Here's an option. That's called heresy. Because the Christ of the Bible is the one we're to follow, and here's what he said, wait and be patient. In the interim, we got a lot of trouble here going to go on between my first coming and my second coming, but you guys hang in there and don't follow false images of who I am. Don't take the wrong view of who I am. Don't follow a false Christ. Without stretching this too far, I just want to say there's plenty of false Christ presented to people like us in our generation today. And they're all based on wanting aspects of the kingdom now. Let's talk about the first one. A, B, C, and D. Ready? Letter A. People want to give us kingdom prosperity now. And they offer us a Christ of the prosperity gospel. You know, there are prosperity preachers right now preaching to crowds that make this crowd look like a family meeting. And they got tons of folks eating every word those preachers say. Because you know what they're offering? A Christ of prosperity. And all that is the impatience of people like us learning this, that between the first coming and the second coming, you have no guarantee of prosperity. Matter of fact, it may be that the government, like it did in the book of Hebrews, will come to 21st century people and say, we're going to confiscate all your property because we feel you're a threat to our culture. It doesn't seem very realistic to you. You got all your money safely ensconced in various places. Maybe you're a successful businessman and you think you'll be just fine being a Christian, living by Christian principles in our day, in our culture, in our economy. But one day it may be, ask your great-grandchildren how it will go if it continues on in this path. If you can hold to biblical truth and not have your very economic sustainability threatened, they will confiscate our property. There's no promises that we're going to be economically rich or prosperous. We're just at the beginning edge of that in America, where we're dealing with things like the tax deductibility of gifts to the church, or even the tax deductions for a church. All those things are soon to go away. Mark my words, they're soon to go away. They're going to go away. We just had a great little season where our culture seemed to embrace biblical principles, and it was all good and fine, but eventually we've lost this culture war, as you know, and so we're moving toward a place where we're going to get back to what a lot of first century people had to deal with, and that was, do you bow to Caesar or do you continue to bow to your foolish old book of fables about Jesus? And people suffered for it financially. Well, a lot of people want kingdom prosperity now, so they will opt for the Christ of prosperity preachers. We'll read more about what goes on in the kingdom, and you'll see this. When a man dies at 100, everyone will say, oh, poor guy. They will grieve him in the millennial kingdom like he's an infant. They'll say, oh, what happened to, well, Shirley died at 140. What did she do wrong? That's horrible. I mean, there will be longevity. There will be health. Some people want kingdom health now. Therefore, they'll offer you the Christ of the faith healers. Have you ever met the Christ of the faith healers? Well, he doesn't exist, but they'll paint a picture for you that basically says this: if you have faith, you can be well, you'll be healthy. Now, I don't need to go through this, you know this. I've often said there should be groups of people in these churches that are 200 and 300 years old, I would think. But it's funny, they die of the same things we die of at the same rate we die of, and their theology makes zero difference. in terms of their health because they end up dying the same way that we do. Matter of fact, some of the most prominent faith healers die of the same kind of cancer and their lives are cut short even before ours are. And I'm thinking to myself, really, this doesn't work for the leaders and the teachers? Come on. I hope you're not buying the Christ of the faith healers. Yeah, there is a promise of healing, a promise of prosperity in terms of our bodies, longevity. But right now, Jesus said this, you're going to have all this tribulation in the world until I come back. As a matter of fact, the promises of Genesis 3 will continue on, and that is this, you're going to get sick and you're going to die. That's on my calendar. I know that's going to happen. We're all going to get sick and die if an accident doesn't take us out first. They want kingdom healing now, which, by the way, there are very subtle forms in evangelicalism, and I hate to step on your toes. All of you that are out there trying to peddle something in the name of Christ that's supposed to make my life healthier and better and make me live longer. Stop it with all of that. Oh, I know we'd like to be healthy. I'll eat carrots. I do. Fine. Let's try and be healthy. But let's not think that we're going to wrap this in a Bible verse and try and present it to people as though God wants you prosperous and your skin to glow and not to be bald and all that. Stop with the nonsense, because it's not Christ's agenda to bring your kingdom healing now. Oh, it'll come. All right, well, you're fortunate I don't have a lot of time, because that one could hurt. Number three, let's just get general here, but it's a specific form of evangelicalism. People want kingdom society, kingdom culture now. They want a kingdom society, kingdom culture. What is that? Well, they offer you the Christ of the social gospel. The Christ of the social, which means this, that if we're really Christians, we'll care about all these issues that everyone else in the liberal world is concerned about. We ought to be about equality. We ought to be about reconciliation. We ought to be about getting poverty out of the way and all these things in the inequities of the geopolitics. Listen, I understand they're all good and fine. And I see an old lady getting beat up by the side of the road as I'm driving home from church. I'm not going to go, well, the world's going to go down the tubes anyway. Hope she does all right. Hang in there, Ethel. I mean, I'm going to stop my car. And I'm going to try to intervene, just like the Good Samaritan on the road to Jericho. Let's help. You see an old lady getting beat up, get out of your car and help. But my job as a pastor and your job as a Christian and our calling as a church is not to solve the social ills of our culture. That's nothing but a distraction, you understand. And Satan is going, yeah, fantastic. I got the church doing exactly what the culture wants to do. And to do that, you've got to give up time. And what Jesus said to those people who said, is now the time you are going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, no, here's your plan. You go back and you wait for the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to empower you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We've got to now get the times of the Gentiles completed when everyone that God has appointed to eternal life joins this band in this largely Gentile church, and then the until will happen. We'll get back to the promises of Israel. They want kingdom society now. A lot of discussion in Ezekiel 34 about justice and harmony and all that. That's coming. But for now, a lot of evil in the world. My job is to preach the gospel and call people to repentance. Will that change society? Sure, I guess, one person at a time. But my goal is not to reform society. Number four, some people just want the kingdom to arrive on their calendar. They want kingdom arrival. They want it now. That's the Christ of the second coming date setters. Do you know those? They dwell among us. And they write their books. You understand this. Whether it's Jack Van Empe, whether it's Hal Lindsey, or you want to go into the real cult genre, Joseph Smith was a date setter. Charles Taz Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses was a date setter. Ellen G. White was a date setter. William Miller before that was a date setter. The 88 Reasons, Christ Will Come Back in 88. Remember that movement, if you're old enough to remember it? How about Harold Camping? That wasn't too long ago, setting dates for the return of Christ, pulling out subway banners, telling us when Christ was going to return. Christ made it very clear. The end will not be at once. Now you say, well, it's not at once anymore. That's fine. And he also said to the disciples when they said, is now you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What did he say? Not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set in his own authority. I got a plan for you. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Stop writing books about date setting and start writing books about evangelistic methods or apologetics or presenting the truth to people in persuasive and reasonable ways. Our job is to represent Christ. That's going to require patience As it says in James 5, 7, and 8, great passage, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer, he says, got to wait. Wait for the early rains and the late rains, but you got to be patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Maintain that confidence in Christ, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What does that mean? He's always been saying, I said that in the first century, it's at hand. I understand that. The next verse, he describes it this way, the judge is standing at the door. At any point, Christ could break through the door. I've got to be with the mindset that the impending return of Christ could happen at any moment. And that's how we need to think. And he said, that will be, I hope, the established heart of having a kind of tenacity to believe in the biblical Christ and not the Christ of the prosperity preachers, faith healers, social gospel advocates, or second coming date setters. Enough with the blood moons and the Rosh Hashanah statistics. I don't wait for the blood moons to expect Christ's return. Do you? You shouldn't. If you don't know what I'm talking about, congratulations. Verse 9. Let me leave you with this. You're going to hear of wars and tumults, cultural chaos. Do not be terrified. These things must first take place. The end will not be at once. We're going to get into all this, as you see in verse 10, if you're looking ahead on your Bible there. He's going to get into more detail about nations against nations, earthquakes, famines, pestilence. We'll deal with that next week. But this week, let's just understand he's telling you not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of all this that's going on now can only happen if you know the destination is sure. In other words, I know that I'm not going to freak out about this road being bumpy if I know the person that told me about the direction said the road is going to be bumpy, but you're going to get there. Go through the bumpy road and then you'll arrive. I have to believe the promises of Christ, and I have to believe them ruthlessly. I have to believe them tenaciously. I have to, number three, fearlessly trust in God's promises. There was a lawsuit at Dunkin' Donuts resulting in a class action settlement that this man, Mr. Polonik, won a $500 incentive award, they call it in these class action lawsuits, because Dunkin' Donuts said they would serve their bagels with butter and they really served them with margarine. And he sued them and he won. Okay, this is not an illustration about frivolous lawsuits, although that is a frivolous lawsuit. It's about the fact that someone is willing to say, if my guy at Dunkin' Donuts tells me he's giving me butter, he better give me butter. I think that's a good practice of commerce, make promises and keep them. But if I go to Dunkin' Donuts today, knowing that they're being held to keep their promise, and I ask for a toasted bagel with butter, please, and the response was this, you will have your butter in all its buttery glory. You will have it. And if the clerk then said to me, I, as a Dunkin' Donuts clerk, my words, I mean, heaven and earth can pass away, my words will never pass away. Here is your butter, Dr. Fabares. Guess what I'm going to think? I'm getting butter on my bagel. Jesus, in our passage, by the time we get to verses 27 and 33, says just that, the Son of Man is coming in a cloud with glory, great power and great glory. He sums it up by saying, heaven and earth, verse 33, will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I hope you recognize, as bumpy as this culture gets, as tumultuous as this culture gets, no matter how bad it seems to be in your life or in our world, Jesus promised he's coming back. That may be a simple way for us to end this sermon, but you need to fearlessly believe that. Not afraid, not afraid. I know that all the bumps, all the wars, all the trouble, all the pestilence, all the issues of calamity, they're all right on schedule. Christ is establishing his people in Israel who will one day turn to him in a great revival with 144,000 Jewish missionaries winning them to Christ. Even those headlines that 100 years ago would be hard to have any thought that the Balfour Declaration was ever going to result in a real nation of Israel. We see signs of God's faithfulness in our day, but the Bible is filled with that kind of faithfulness. Christ is going to keep his promises, and this world as we know it will be over. You ought to be preparing for the next world. you imagine being sitting on a beach under an umbrella in Hawaii, having your phone buzz and you get this notification on ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. There were some people in our church that were there, by the way, when that happened in January. This is not a drill. That's what it said. 38 minutes, you know the story. It just happened this year. 38 minutes went by before they rescinded that, retracted it. And you see videos, you've seen the videos, people running their kids into manhole covers and into, you know, crazy. I just wonder this morning if they got another buzz on their phone and it said ballistic missile incoming threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter, this is not a drill. I wonder how many less people would seek shelter. I'm not just taking a bash at the date setters, but that doesn't help us, you understand. When the date setters set dates about the return of Christ, then it doesn't happen. And they've heard us Christians talking about the end of this world and the establishment of the next. And as it says in 2 Peter 3, one day this whole place is going to be done. Christ is going to set up his kingdom. After the battle of Armageddon, as we know it in Revelation 19, we're going to have that millennial kingdom set up. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard that. Turn or burn, turn or burn. I don't believe it. Hawaii was the first state to put into action a ballistic missile threat program. And they put it into action because they thought this was a real possibility, and one day we ought to be able to warn our citizens. I know that at this point, there may not be as much confidence in that system as there should be, but Christ has never given us a false alarm. Christ is the one who's told us the truth. People have messed and twisted his words to try and say something he never said. But you and I, we ought to be hanging on the truth that while it may take a while, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, I mean, all that is true. As it says in 2 Peter 3, this world as we know it's going to be over, but we, believing this promise of God, look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Can we live this week fearless? We're not freaked out. Our neighbors are going to get increasingly freaked out as this world continues down a path that Christ said it's going to continue. We need to be paragons of courage and strength. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Time for us to not be afraid, but to continually hold out the words of life, that there is shelter, there is a way out. We need to be emissaries and ambassadors of that great message. Understand Israel's judgment, it's for a time. I want you to be impatient and start to grasp for a false Christ. Instead, I want you to fearlessly and forever trust the promises of God.
Amen. An important reminder to make sure we're right with God and to be bold, gracious, and unrelenting spokespersons of the truth. You're listening to pastor, teacher, and author Mike Fabares, and this is Focal Point. Well, this concludes our message titled The Unexpected Postponement, and we'd like to send you this CD message free of charge just for getting in touch with us today. Israel's widespread rejection of King Jesus resulted in a postponement of the earthly kingdom, but we can still remain confident in God's promises as we work and patiently await the King's second coming. Request your free copy of The Unexpected Postponement by calling 888-320-5885, or you can find it online at focalpointradio.org. Now, we know thinking about end times can be an overwhelming experience for some, especially if their hearts are not right with Christ. But here at Focal Point, we don't want anyone to stay in that place of guilt and shame. We're committed to teaching what the Bible says to those in desperate need of truth, so their lives will be transformed. And if you believe in the value of straightforward Bible teaching, will you donate today so we can continue getting the gospel message out to those who need to hear it? When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you a timely resource designed to help bolster your faith in uncertain times. It's titled The End Times Survival Guide, and it's written by Mark Hitchcock. This book outlines 10 biblical strategies we're to live out in these last days so your family can prosper. And while these spiritual tools won't guarantee your physical or financial well-being, they will bring life and vitality to your spiritual health and welfare as you cling to the unchanging truth of Scripture. To make a donation, go online to focalpointradio.org Well, I'm Dave Drewy, inviting you to join us again Thursday, right here for Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.